The stocks discussed on PTS Radio are not in any way a solicitation or recommendation to buy, sell, or hold. If considering acting on information presented, we recommend that you seek out a licensed professional for advice. Get ready for the radio show that is all about trading. It's your weekly dose about how to trade your account. Here is your host, Mel Raymond.
Welcome to another edition of PTS Radio, the broadcast that is all about trading. Well, we finished another week, and it was not one of the most exciting. There are, of course, many, many reasons. Somewhere I read millions of reasons impinging upon the economy and the markets. But right now, we take what we can get. One of the things I noticed this weekend, I ran some scans, was that the average true daily ranges have really, really compressed. It wasn't very long ago that I could eliminate anything less than $3 a day and still have lots of stocks to look at. Now I can hardly find any that have a $3 range. The other thing that we noticed was the disappearance of volume, liquidity. Even when we have our so-called rally days, there's not a lot of buying going on. Of course, all of this is for a reason, and we'll explain some of it, at least some of it on today's broadcast. We can't become a radio broadcast dedicated to economics, but there are reasons that the situation is going on, and you should be aware of them as a trader. If you're new to PTS or PTS setups, or you're new to trading, please don't think that the markets are always like this. They're just a little rough at the moment. We're going to start today broadcast by taking a look at the results of the PTS setups. There are two groups of them, the freebies, or the comps, and the ones that are subscribed to. The subscription setups, despite the market, did okay. At the bottom of the heap is our $5 trade. There seems to always be one of those. And the best trade of the week was Hess. It's an interesting trade. We took it as two parts. The total movement we got was $10.44. The first part we got $7.61, and I thought I would be smart to get the heck out of there because they might try to bounce it the next day. But they didn't, and it fell another, I guess, $2.44. So we did okay for the week. We always managed to find trades. Typically, an average would be at least four a day on a really good market where there's a lot of momentum. We often get as many as 30 or 35 trades, but I think four a day will do. You'll notice that maybe close to half of them are in the $2 or higher range, so we're not suffering. Now, the PTS comps did okay last week. Monsanto produced two longs, $1.52 and $2.46. That's from our triggers. UNP triggered long for $3.45 and it reversed. Had you been getting the updates, UNP actually produced a lot of nice trades throughout the week. But sticking with the rules and our original trigger, because the comps are not updated, you got $3.45. So that's not a bad return on two complementary setups. Now we're going to go over and check out the markets and see where we are and what's going on. Let's take a quick look at the Dow. You'll find that most of the indices are fairly similar. It's getting overbought. If you have PTS, if you look at the week, it's going over the top of the channel. Interesting, too, we've been using a 10-month moving average. And if you've added that to your charts, you'll see that Dow Index INDU is right up against that 10-month moving average. It's pretty difficult for it to get through there. That's strong resistance. You might be getting a move down fairly soon. Now, if you look at the day, you'll see that it's trying to form a double top in the area of the 200-day moving average. And, of course, it's doing this without a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of volume. Now, let's see how the S&P is doing. Very similar charts on the SPX, the S&P 500. It's just above the 10-month moving average. It's up at the top of the channel on the week. It did make it through the 200-day moving average, pulled back, and now it's trying to go make another run at it, and it's forming a double top. One of the things that hit me this week was that although I found some overbought week and even days, once I got into the midterm charts, they looked a little lethargic, and they didn't look as if they had any idea at all where they're going. For example, if you look at the SPX on a 240 or a 130, kind of wallowing around in the middle of the channel. Yes, it's an up channel, but stocks have pulled back, and then they try to go up again, but they kind of flattened out. And flattened out, I guess, is the operative word right now in the markets. I think even the most naive of investors is starting to become aware that something is wrong. Of course, the traders know that, and they've been enjoying these moves up and down and back and forth as the SPX moves in a channel. But the investors have been told constantly that a bottom's in sight. In fact, I saw an article last week. It said, you know those green sprouts? Have you been smoking them? But anyway, yes, we're in a lot of trouble in this economy. And it doesn't help when I pick up Time Magazine, as I did, I guess it arrived Friday, and there's an article about why we need to be in the markets and why investing is where it's at. Folks, I wrote off investing back when the market crashed in 2000 and said buy and hold should be called buy and hope, and that's the end of it. You need to trade everything you do, even if it's long-term trading. If it stops going your way, get out. Let's take just a second and do a little business in response to the emails that we continue to get. Yes, we have set dates for the next PTS course. They are October 5th and 6th. The information is on the PTSradio.com website or PrecisionTradingSystem.com. Both are the same address. They'll both bring you to the same place. We had a big response just announcing this last week. So if you need to make a reservation, go ahead. Payment for the course is not due till a month prior to the course. If you think you might be going or would like to go, go ahead and get your name on a list because the number of seats is finite. During the week, I was talking to PTS coach Mike Mizunas, and he mentioned an interesting, in fact, he sent me a copy of an article that was in Seeking Alpha. Kind of interesting. One of the reasons, we mentioned this a week or so ago, that the market ran up, of course, was covering. But this gave another reason that's a little bit shocking. The U.S. government gave bailout money to many of the banks. The banks, rather than do what banks do, which is increase credit supply, make loans, that sort of thing, they took the money and bought stocks. And they ran, they're at least partially, or to a large extent, responsible for the move up in this past rally. At some point, whenever they think it's through, they're going to start pulling some of this institutional money back out and take their profits. Now, they're taking profits using your money. They're trading using your money. There is so much going on that's not right at the moment. I don't think it'll ever get sorted out. But that's just one more interesting story, and it explains why the commodities made such big moves when there was actually no increase, in fact, a decrease in demand for these commodities. It's because your bailout money was being traded by many of the financial institutions. I was looking at a site called The Pragmatic Capitalist, and they mentioned that the latest data on insider selling shows little relief in the relentless unloading of company stock by corporate insiders. I hope you heard that, because the companies are unloading their own stock. In the last 2 weeks, insiders sold over $335 million in stock versus listed insider purchases of just over $12 million. It says the list of insider selling has been long, and the amounts have been staggering. One might think that with all these green shoots, the insiders at major U.S. corporations would begin buying up their own shares voraciously, especially after a nice little run like that we've seen lately. After all, with stocks still 35% off their highs and a full-blown economic recovery, supposedly, on the horizon, it would make nothing but sense than to buy your own shares, right? I thought you might find that interesting. Another article mentioned that no one can justify this big move in commodities. We are physically using 30% less metals and 7% less oil than we did last year. What's going on now is nothing more than speculation that things will get better, but as we know, things were never actually as good as the levels they are now, benchmarking as the right price. Oil bulls are looking to get back to $150 a barrel, or at least $100, as if that was something legitimate and sustainable. Before I forget it, we have included a Peter Schiff video. It's on the PTSradio.com page. He does an excellent job describing the current economy and what we could expect to happen in regard to the effects of the bailouts, the bailout funds. In fact, at one point, I believe Peter says, do you remember in the time of Jimmy Carter? I guess that was 1980, early 80s. He said, do you remember the 20% interest rates? That's nothing, he says, compared to the kind of major crisis that we're going to be facing. I highly recommend you take a few moments to watch this video. It's going to give you a much better grasp of what's going on. I had a phone call the other day from one of our traders. It was kind of funny. The person said to me, once I go through all the various steps I do to find setups or to trade a stock using PTS charts, there's some sort of formula, secret formula that I use that ultimately gives me the triggers and targets. In case you've ever wondered, everything I use comes directly from the charts. Now, it might mean drawing a trend line, it might mean pulling a Fibonacci, which I'll do once in a while, but everything's coming right off the charts. You might wonder, is it difficult doing setups right now? Well, this weekend, it's been almost impossible. So if you're a subscriber, I think I sent out 8 or 9, but sometimes I'll send out 10 or 15. But right now, there's just no point. It's just too messed up. Something's got to give. My guess is there's a good chance we're going to go short this week. There's got to be some kind of regrouping. If we do go short this week, the cheerleaders on CNBC will call it profit-taking. Nonetheless, something's got to give. People that are invested are only going to sit around so long, and if whatever they're invested in doesn't move anymore, they are going to take their money. If this rally, which started several months ago, is to continue, it's going to have to start to do that in the next day or so. It can't have a positive index with no volume, stocks running up a buck and then taking it back, that sort of thing. It's got to actually move with some volume. Let me answer some questions that have come in during the week from you. I appreciate them. I received a lengthy email from someone who said, I've been trying to trust the long-term charts. I'm a swing trader, but I've been getting beat up. Yes, most of the long-term charts look as if they've been beat up. You're not seeing some great moves there. Here's what I suggest you do, because from day to day, we could run up one and down the next and go sideways the third. What I suggest you do is use the long-term charts right now to tell you where you are and what the trend is. But take your entrances and trades on the shorter charts. So if you see, the price is approaching the 200-day moving average, and I see some selling, what the heck is your 90-minute chart doing? Is it starting to curl over, roll over? Well, then look for a short and take your short on the 90. Or it might be a 30 or a 45. You might have a wonderful day trade. At the end of the day, if that trade is still going, for example, on a 90, 120, whatever chart you happen to pick, you can hold overnight. Now, when I say still going, suppose you're short and we're going into the close. Instead of covering coming in, which will be green bars, you'd see even increased selling coming in as you go into the close. Then it's probably safe to hold overnight. Now, you know, if you're a subscriber, that those are the ones that I do hold overnight. And every now and then we get burned. Maybe we were up $3 and we only got $2 out of it. Or maybe we actually have a gap against us and a loss. But those are so rare. The last loss like that was, it could have been last summer. I don't remember. They're very, very, very rare. Now here's another question. It has to do with how we compute our wins and losses. If a stock triggers, and remember, a trigger area can be 30 cents wide, but if a stock triggers and moves up 50 or 60 cents or 90 cents and stops and turns around, we don't count that as a 90 cent win. I don't count any wins unless they make at least a point. To me, that's a failed trade. Nonetheless, it didn't lose any money. If you were watching good charting, you saw it fail, and you took your money and left, you might have had a wash or even a nice profit. But we rarely get a trigger where there's not some kind of movement after. I wrote a lengthy editorial, I think Thursday night, about taking triggers at bad points. Let me give an example. You've got a long trigger. The stock, let's say it's a long, the stock finally triggers long, and it's 11:35, 11:40 Eastern time, market time. The market is either flat or very negative. This is no place to go long. Look at the individual stock that you're going into also and see how it's doing. How is volume? Is volume coming in behind this move? Is this the time of day that you're going long, that the traders are selling their positions and going to lunch? All those kinds of considerations have to be taken into account. Nonetheless, we do have, apparently, lots of new traders, and I'm trying to make it bulletproof. So this week, I've pulled a lot of the dual triggers. You'll see lots of blanked out longs, or maybe shorts, where I just didn't want you to try to go long in a continuation play, because I felt you might get hurt. You might not understand what to watch for. Nonetheless, some of these stocks may continue up. We might rally, but I'm just trying to keep you out of trouble. I will try to send messages as I can throughout the week. They'll go to the message board, and if I see changes during the day, I'll try to keep you informed. I'll try to catch some more questions before the broadcast is over, but I do want to get over to our interview with PTS coach Mike Mizunas. We're here with Coach Mike. Mike, of course, being a PTS coach. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, Mel.
I understand that you're going to tell us a little bit about when to cash out of a trade, when to get in a trade, trader-type things on this broadcast.
Yeah, I thought I'd go over a few things. If you're in either equities or options, if your trade's made a big move up or down, or if you're uncomfortable with your position, how do you know if you should maintain that position? Did you buy based on longer term, like the PTS charts? Is the trade showing signs of weakness? Are you losing volume? Have the technical patterns, meaning the charts actually, have the technical patterns changed? Has the street's view of the sector changed? What are you hearing for news? Well, I suppose it's all about what kind of trader you profess to be. Mel usually asks that when you take the course, whether or not you consider yourself a swing trader, a day trader, a scalper, and whether you're watching the long or short charts. Without a doubt, the market's been irrational. This has been a choppy market, so it's good to know what kind of a trader you are. It's been said that the market makers will shake you out or wear you out. I believe that good charting and an ear to the ground are your best defenses. You must learn to take your profits when you have them, and exit your position when a trade's gone against you. If the scenario which caused you to take the trade initially has changed, leave. Take your money. Jay Woods tells me all the time that I've ruined his sleep. He says he hears those words in his dreams. Take the money. Never let a profit turn into a loss. We talk about stops quite a bit. As for stops, I never use sell stops. However, I do recommend that people consider using a trailing sell stop when they have a large profit in a position. There's a couple other things that I hear from traders occasionally, and that's averaging up or averaging down. Averaging down is tempting, and many traders do this successfully, but I'm against it. I think it's throwing good money after bad. I prefer to close a position and move on rather than commit more money to a losing trade. Averaging up, which is just the opposite. Averaging up, if a position is working for you, why not put more money to work if the fundamental story, which is basically the reason why you got into the trade to begin with, if the fundamental story is still working for you? That's basically it. Basically what I wanted to say tonight. My closing thought, I guess, would be that trading is not about being right. It's about being profitable. You have to learn to become directionally agnostic. What do you think?
I think you need to keep emotions out of it. A lot of traders stay because of emotional issues. They take it as a personal affront if the trade's going against them. It's nothing to do with you personally. It's just that's what it's doing. Get out.
When you enter a trade, I think the picture of the market maker that's handling your trade should be up there on the screen.
Not a pretty sight. One of the things we do teach at the course is there's some premise for taking the trade. Something was right that attracted you to the trade. If that changes, get out. And that's what you're saying.
Has to be a reason. There should have been a reason to get in.
I mean, if the reason was it broke above 200, the 200-day moving average, as an example, and all of a sudden it pulls back and it doesn't hold that support, get out. That was the reason you took the trade.
That's true. Watch the volume. The volume's really good indicator.
And right now, and we've already mentioned it on this broadcast, but liquidity's not there right now. The volume's dropped. The ATRs have dropped. It's a pretty tough market to trade right now. Occasionally, we'll get a swing or overnight hold, but the last few weeks, mostly, they're day trades and scalps.
You have to manage your positions in this market. You can't get too far from the computer, because unless you're a long-term trader, you've got pretty much your your chart's all aligned and you know where the trade is going, most people will be shaken out.
Yes, and I think, the long-term trend has been long for a few months. I think that's about to change. So I'd be a little reluctant to hold a long-term position long right now. I'd be a little frightened. If I'd made a good profit up to here, I would begin scaling out.
Correct.
As usual, it's wonderful to have you with us. Look forward to having you back on the broadcast next week, Mike. Thanks. We're back with a little bit of time that we can use to answer a few more questions. Several people have asked me during the past 2 weeks, how can I find good stocks to trade? Or, how can I scan for stocks that will have good daily range, good volume, and the other things that are used for the PTS setups? There actually is a way you can scan for them through barchart.com, but you have to pay a subscription charge. You can scan for things such as volatility, average true daily range, volume. But an easier way to get stocks that work is to go to the PTS website, go to PTS Setups Examples, and you'll see the last 100 trades. You can just copy the symbols out of there. Those are all stocks that, at least for right now, are making the biggest moves or are most popular for use by traders. If you would like a scanner that will actually find stocks that are set up to make a specific move, a scalp, a swing trade, and will coincide properly with PTS, that's a lot more difficult. I've seen a number of attempts at this, but I've never seen anything really work. Here's one more question. It's from someone who attended the last course. He said, how can I learn to do my own setups? You learn to do them by doing them. It takes quite a few years to go through different types of markets. This is a particularly difficult one right now. But you start by actually writing down what you think is a good setup and why, and look and see what happens to it. Watch how the charts react to your setup. You learn by doing it. There's no specific formula because the markets are different all the time. It's particularly difficult now when you have a lot of midterm charts that are just flat. But I assure you, it'll get going again. I suspect on the downside, at least I expect some kind of correction right now before the big crash comes. But spend some time every evening looking for what you would consider a good setup and why. For example, you might see a stock that has fallen and is at support at a 20-day or 50-day or 200-day moving average. At the same time, you might see a 30, a 45, a 60, or a 90 at the bottom of a channel. And you think, well, it could bounce. If it did bounce, where would my long entrance be? You can tell that by looking or estimating where a confirmation will be. All three lines going in the same direction. Write that number down. And then, using the charts, figure out where the first and second targets might be. Or you can just work with one target. It depends on your trade style. Write it all down and then watch and see what happens. And things will be, if you do this diligently, eventually you will develop a skill at it. You'll spot setups more quickly. You'll find out what works and doesn't work. And that's the way you learn to do it. But there's not a book on how to do it. And stocks don't trade the same way all the time. And now we're going to move on and take a look at the complementary setups for the coming week. The first comp setup is ANF, Alpha November Foxtrot. It's been a long time since I've flown. And ANF, which is a retail apparel and shoes sector, has an average true daily range of $1.90. It's oversold and at support at the 200-day moving average. The next area of support is at the 50-day moving average. What might happen here? Well, it might bounce the 200, although it is retail. And retail's not doing all that well. But it could bounce, and we give you a long trigger. We also warn you that it might continue to fall, and you have a second target, which is down at the 50-day moving average. Now, if you look over at your weekly chart, if you have PTS, you'll see that the bottom of the channel is at 24.38. That's $3 below where we are now. Could it keep going down here? Of course it could. But chances are it will reverse at some point. People will think it's an outstanding deal, and it's cheap, and they'll buy it. The 240 and 130 are really in position to go long now, but a 90 is not. You'll notice it's on the mean, and that kind of indicates to me that this may fall another few dollars before it reverses. You do have long and short triggers. The second stock, BHP, BH as in hotel, P as in Papa, is a mining stock with an average true daily range of $2.74. They just did a takeover of Rio Tinto. It's very active. It's in play right now. It's above all resistance, but buying was coming in near the close. It could trade in either direction, and then I mentioned that they are involved in a takeover. It made a nice move up. You'll see it at the top of the 90, but if you look again at your 240 and 130, you'll see that it's just at the mean. What does that indicate? It means it might bounce and go up a little higher. I see that the top of the 130 is at 62.71, and that coincides very much with what's going on in the 240. But, you know, there might be a couple of dollars on the upside yet. Your 90-minute looks as if it might bounce. And your 30-minute, if you're using a 30-minute, after a big move up at the open, sort of drifted. And I drew a trend line across that, and I said, if you want to break that line, we're going to go long again for 2 or 3 points. We've given you a long trigger and a short trigger. There was heavy buying in the close Friday, but on the very, very short term, they were buying going into the last half hour. So it could go either way. In the aftermarket, it did essentially nothing Friday. If you're interested in these, you might want to watch them in the pre-market. If you have InstaQuote, just check pre and aftermarkets on a 5 or 10 minute chart, and you will be able to watch any prices, changes, and activity going through, and you'll know if it's going to gap up or down. I had a really good time putting together this broadcast, and I do appreciate your being here. I hope you have a great trading week. This is your host, Mel Raymond, and I look forward to seeing you in the markets.